It is, in a phrase, stomach-churning to read execution language. Perhaps it's because the concept is much easier to take in the abstract. If a man bombs an office building containing a daycare center and kills 168 people, including small children, should he get the death penalty? One flash of the firefighter carrying the toddler's limp body, and the answer is clear. Of course. But then wipe all that away. Think about what happens in the death chamber. We're usually spared the details of that setting. The news cameras are kept outside the prison. But a few hours in the law library reading execution statutes gives an unsettling glimpse inside. And suddenly, for me at least, the answer is not as easy. The federal statute is a cop-out of sorts. Under Title 18 U.S. Code Section 3596, the implementation of death provision in our federal laws, it says nothing about the mechanics of death, what our government should use to kill someone convicted of a terrible crime. Instead, Congress tells the Attorney General to look to the states, either the state where the federal court imposed the death penalty, or if that state doesn't have one, some other state that does. But there's another set of federal provisions, federal regulations decided by some governmental agency in Washington. And there, execution by federal hands gets much more explicit. When the federal government handles a death penalty case, beginning 7 days before the execution, the condemned prisoner can receive as visitors only two spiritual advisors, his attorneys, and family members. In the death room, he can choose as witnesses only one spiritual advisor, two attorneys, and three family members or friends, no one under 18. The sentence itself is carried out by a U.S. Marshal. The prisoner is killed, although the actual language is not so explicit, by intravenous injection of a lethal substance or substances in sufficient quantity to cause death. After the lethal injection has done its work, qualified people examine the body, checking for any signs of life. Finding none, the body shall be disposed of, according to prison regulation. Chilling language coming from the government. And in execution statutes passed by the states, the words become even more difficult to read. Alabama electrocutes in the necessary room with necessary appliances by causing a continued and applied current of electricity to pass through the body of the convict of sufficient intensity to cause death. In Washington state, a prisoner can choose hanging by the neck until he is dead. In Idaho, if lethal injection is impractical because, among other things, no one will do it, the prisoner dies by firing squad, members chosen by the head of the prison. In Montana, the warden provides the necessary implements, and the executioner remains anonymous, his selection and his training confidential. In Utah, a prisoner can choose execution by five-person firing squad, made up of so-called peace officers, their salary set by the finance department. In Illinois, the method is lethal injection, and the executioner's identities are top secret, so secret that they're paid in cash to protect their anonymity. All language passed by lawmakers, laws telling state employees how to go about killing another human being. State action we've come to accept and even support, because in the abstract, the result may seem just, because blind vengeance is sweet. So in one sense, it's an easy question to answer. Does the guy who killed all those people, all those children, deserve to die? Filled with the memories of that horrible day in Oklahoma City, the hugs we gave our still-with-us children that day, the answer is, oh yes, of course. But for one moment, think about how it is to be done. By executioners trained by the state, using appropriate appliances and implements, drugs stuck into an unwilling arm with a needle, or a continuous current of electricity, or a bullet, or a noose, blood money paid in cash. Somehow, that gives pause. And certainly, if it gives pause in the case of the dastardly deserving Timothy McVeigh, so it should in any case. I'm Amy Guida.